There's not much better sentiments of a song than the song we just sang. Lead me gently home. Today I was at a funeral. And every time you're at a funeral, you think about that. Conducting a funeral for someone who was 66 years old. We found out 6 weeks ago they had stage 4 cancer. We don't ever know. But may God help us. And may we truly live in a way that God will lead us gently home. Certainly good luck out in the audience tonight to see you here. We're appreciative of your presence, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so glad you've come to be with us tonight. And I invite you to take your Bibles out and turn them to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, is where we'll be looking for our lesson together this evening as we study along together. And we hope that you'll enjoy the service so much that you'll come back. And you might even just decide, hey, I'm just going to come back here all the time. That would be quite well, too. But anyway, we're glad to have you among us tonight in our service. And traveling about, especially when I'm flying, I have a tendency to sit and watch. I tend to do this. I think I've told y'all before, I do this. And so if you ever around me, you might be just watching me stare kind of at things and don't pay any attention to it. It's just I'm just observing. And so a lot of times when I'm flying, I may be sitting there by myself because maybe I'm traveling by myself. Maybe I'm waiting for someone like Buck to join me at the airport to go with me. Whatever the case may be, I may be traveling on a leg by myself or maybe traveling by myself. And I just am sitting there with nobody to talk to. And when I do that, I find myself just watching. And what I do is I begin to look at the people that are going through the airport, and I'm watching them as they go through, and they're dragging their bags, if you will, across the concourse, and they're getting where they're going, and I just sit there and I just watch them. I watch them with the excitement that they have as they're on their way somewhere. And then sometimes you see people that maybe aren't quite as excited, and you wonder what's going on. And then you see some people, and they look like business people that probably do this all the time and just are going through the drudgery of doing it. They live in airports, you might say. But as I watch these people and they gather and they're on a vacation, they're with their family, they've got all the children, and I tend to watch them because they're taking care of their children. They're making sure that they get in the right spot. They get in the right place. Because they don't want them to be left behind. They want them to go with them. They don't want to sit there and say, well, we got to our destination, but we left. We left our children. We left 3 of them back in Atlanta or back in Miami. That wouldn't be good. So they make sure that they're taken care of and they're cared for. You know, I think about that and I begin to think, you know, really, is our lives as children of God, are we not really kind of like that too? Are we not really on a journey going somewhere? And are we not really with excitement going on this journey that we're going, where we're looking forward to the journey? And we're excited about what we're going to be able to do when we reach our destination. And the answer to that is yes. I like to see some nods. Yeah, we're excited about that. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to be. And then I think about the excitement, and then I think about the preparation, and I begin to think, you know what, really, taking a trip and living life as a Christian have a lot of similarities, because what we are is we're pilgrims. We're sojourners. This world, as the song says, is not our home. We're just passing through. This evening, I'd like to talk to you about one thing in particular, and that is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And what I want to talk to you about this evening is I want to talk about when we gather together for worship. When we gather together for worship, are we treating the worship like it ought to be treated? Are we treating it with the kind of excitement, the kind of preparation that we ought to be, because we're on a journey and we're wanting to be united with the people of God. We want to be united with the people of God around the throne of God, and we want to be worshiping day and night. So when we come together for worship, do we exuberate that kind of attitude that we ought to? I think there's some things here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that tell us there's some things we need to do. And the first thing I want to notice, we're going to read this beginning in verse 1. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God who is in heaven, and thou on the earth. Let therefore thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitudes of business, and the fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. It is better that thou shouldest vow not than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of the dreams and in many words there are also divers vanities, but thou fear thou God. But fear thou God. There are five things I want to note with you, and I guarantee you we won't be here long. We ain't got much time. The first thing is, he's telling them, get ready to meet with God. Get ready to meet with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 5, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. He's saying what you need to do is you need to proceed into this area of worship with caution. Don't just come haphazardly into worship. So oftentimes, what we want to do is we want to get to worship. And when we run into worship, we don't really make the preparation. We're not making preparation like we should be making. And so what do? We come flying into worship, and we haven't attuned our minds to worship at all. Our minds have been 100 miles away. Maybe what we're doing is we're sitting there trying to catch that last piece of the news, and it's causing us to be late because that story runs too long. And so we run in here. It just the moment the service is fixing to start, or maybe even a minute late, because the train called us as we tried to cross the track. And so we're rushing in here. We're all in a fluster because we're late. You need to keep your foot. You need to guard your foot. You need to guard your actions. You need to guard what you're doing when you go into the house of God. I think that speaks to the idea of making preparation, getting yourself ready, being ready, and being ready to be there. Come with reverence and care in your mind. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship God. And so many times what we do is we have everything else on our mind. When we're here worshiping, I'm sitting here thinking, well, you know what? We started at 5. And the preacher is going long, apparently, because we're already at 5:30, whatever it is. And he's just getting started. If he don't get on a go, I'm going to be late. I've got somewhere to be at 6. Well, that's right. Life controls us. And when we get to worship, maybe it is really hard for us to take all that out of our minds and sit down and worship. We don't come with the reverence that we ought to have and the respect for who we're coming before as we worship God. And we run in here, we sit down. I got here just in time. Boy, I got here before the announcements were made, whatever the case may be. And I'm here, and I'm worshiping. The song numbers are said, and I'm sitting here, and I'm out of breath. I sure can't sing anyway. Nobody wants to hear me sing. So what do? I sit there, and I do nothing. I keep my mouth closed while the song leader is up there leading. And then people say, boy, if we could just help our singing. Well, I'll tell you how we can help our singing. If everybody would just open up their mouths and sing. That helps the singing immensely. But we don't prepare ourselves for that. We get in here and I haven't prepared myself to worship. And so when the song service starts, I'm not ready. And we don't have the dignity and the respect that we ought to have as we come for worship and we offer worship to God. You know, when I think about what we offer in worship to God and the way we do that, you hold your place there in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, but I'm turning my Bible over to Malachi, Malachi chapter 1. And I'm looking at verse 6, where the prophet says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord? O priest that despise my name, and say, wherein have we despised your name? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we offered polluted thee? And that the table of the Lord is contemptible. You offer blind, verse 8, for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer now to thy governor and see if he will be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, I'm just coming in here and I'm just going to throw out something to God and say, this is what it is. I'm not really preparing myself. I'm just coming in here and I'm just, we're having worship. And I'm just shooting off the hip. Worship is not about planned activity. It's not a planned endeavor. We get here and we start saying, okay, where's the song leader? Okay, well, let's go find a song leader. Oh, let's go. Well, let's flip that book real quick. Let's find the songs. Now, we don't do that much here at Margaret Street. I'm thankful for the fact that we don't do that here. But I have seen that done time and time again in worship. And when I may be somewhere visiting, and they're starting, and it's time to start, and they're now finding a song leader to lead the singing who's now got to pick out songs. And they won't know why God wouldn't be pleased with that. And I would say that God expects better. That God deserves better. And I think that's what Malachi is trying to tell Israel. You ought to be offering that which is better. You know, when I think about this, I think about David tried to make worship a centerpiece, if you will, of worship of Israel and their lives. He tried his best to make everything like it should be, but it wasn't like it always should have been. You know, but he tried. I think about over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I think about here the example of Uzzah. And you remember how that you come with David as he's transporting the ark on a cart, which is not the way it should have been transported. And so Uzzah reaches forth his hand to steady the ark so it doesn't fall and break into pieces. And he does, and when he does, he dies. And what do we get out of that? Well, the point is very clear. God has made specific instructions about worship. And yes, the ark needs to be there. And the ark needs to be in the place for worship. It needs to be carried. It needs to be taken care of. But there is a way God expected it to be done. And it was not on a cart. It was not on a cart. And so we need to make preparations. We need to plan for our worship. We need to be ready when we come together for worship, and that we worship God, and that we understand our worship is before the Lord, the God, the Creator. Which then brings me to the second point, and that is that when we come together to worship, we need to listen to God. He says in verse 1, the latter part of verse 1, be ready to hear. Be ready to hear. More than to give sacrifices of the fools. You know, there are lots of people who are ready to do something. They're ready to explain something. They're ready to be involved in worship in some way. But they're not really ready to hear. How many times do you have people that don't want to worship the way God has prescribed? They're ready to do something in worship, but they're ready to do something God doesn't want them to do in worship. Well, we need to understand what worship's about. It is not about... It's not about worshiping the way we want to be worshiped. Our worship is done before the Lord. I should have told you to hold your place there in 2 Samuel, but going back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, I go back here and I just want to notice a few verses with you. Look with me first in verse 5. We'll just start there in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. It says, "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir and wood and on harps and on psalteries and timbrels and cornets and cymbals. They're worshiping God. My point I want to make here out of this text is they were doing it before the Lord. Their worship was before the Lord. You know, the oxen shook, and that was not as God prescribed the worship should be. But then we drop down to verse 14. It says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Do you see what he's worshiping? He's worshiping. How is he worshiping? With all of his might. Verse 16, the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and despised him in her heart. David was offering before the Lord. Verse 17, and David offered burnt offerings. The latter part of verse 17, David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Before the Lord. Then verse 21, and David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord that he chose me, before thy father, and before all the house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord. You know, the point I want to make here is that David was understanding worship was before the Lord. And we need to understand when we come together to worship, we're coming together before the Lord. And so that means I'm preparing myself to worship before the Lord. I'm coming in here ready to worship. And not only am I coming in here ready to worship, but I'm coming in here listening to what the Lord would have me to do in worship to him. I'm going to do it exactly as he has prescribed. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change that at all. Why? Because I'm going to hear the Lord. I'm going to hear what he has to say about what I'm doing in worship. What I'm doing in worship must please him. Remember, God is the one who is to be pleased, and we must be pleased to please him. But so many times there are people who don't want to do that. They won't worship like they want, not what God wants. The third thing I want to notice with you that we see here is that you need to humble yourselves before God when you come to worship. Verse 2, it says, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou on earth. And what the wise man is saying here, he said, you need to remember who you are. You're here, and God is here. Be careful about your mouth. Be careful about spending what you think. You need to humble yourself. You need to submit. That gets back to this idea of being ready to listen, to hear the word of the Lord, to do what the Lord would have you to do, and worship to him. He says, therefore, let your words be few. I think about how it is that we understand and learn to listen to God, to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves to him. You know, when I think about this, it's about learning our place. If you will, turn over with me to the book of Isaiah. I'm turning to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And as you turn there, you're maybe familiar with the text here, where the prophet Isaiah begins to speak about the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 40. He says, To whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall be my equal, saith the Holy One? He said, here's the Holy One, the Holy One. Who is my equal? Who is this? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names. And by the greatness of his power, for he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, when I read this text, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, here's somebody who is saying, you know, you need to understand who you are and where you are in perspective to God. Don't think you're unequal with God. He gives to you what you can so that you can fly with the wings of eagles. You're not the one who's done anything. You're not the one who can boast in who you are and what you're about. No, it's not about you when you come to worship, you being pleased. It's not about that. It's about God being pleased. And we need to get that point right. But so oftentimes, we'll sit there and say, well, I just wish we'd do this, or I wish we'd do that. How many times do you have people say something about worship and they won't start changing things? And the problem is they want to change the worship to what they want, not what God wants. What is your response? God is reigning. Do you accept his reign? The wise man says you need to humble yourselves before him. Then he says in verse 4 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he had no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. And then he says it's better not to vow than do not pay in a vow that you made. And what he's saying here is mean what you say with God. Mean what you say. A lot of times people just like to talk. They like to promise things. And it's easy. It's easy for us to sit there and say, oh, yeah, I'll promise to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And what he's saying is don't be rash in making these vows. Don't be careful about vowing something and then not being able to fulfill what you promised. And you know, so oftentimes that's what we do. We get so busy in life. But maybe our problem is that we are so busy with things in life. Maybe we cut loose of the things in life, then maybe we can keep our vows to God and the promises we make. But what he's saying is don't think that you need to come to worship. Keep your foot when you go. When you come to worship, make sure what you're saying is what you mean. In other words, you've got to be honest. You're going to worship God, you've got to be honest. When you come together and you're here to worship, who knows whether your worship's acceptable or not? Oh, you could be singing. You could be saying amen to the prayer. You could be listening to the sermon. But God knows. You know. Nobody else knows. You need to be honest with yourself because God knows. And that's what he says. You need to make sure you're careful about what you say. Be careful with your communication. Be careful. And then finally, what does he say? He says, because you need to take God seriously. What does he say in verse 7? He says, for in the multitude of thy dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. Vanity, vanities. Everything is vanity, saith the preacher. But fear thou God. Fear thou God. Take God seriously. I mean, fear God. That means holy all. That means respect. That means God is God. God is not your buddy. He's not your pal. He's not old Joe that you play ball with. He's the God. He's the creator of the universe. You come and you worship him. You need to take him serious. You take him serious, you're going to prepare yourself. You're going to prepare yourself and you're going to listen to him. And you're going to listen to what he says. And then you're going to be listening to it and you're going to be humbling yourself because you know who you are and who he is. And then you're going to be honest about your life and your communication. And then you're going to be taking this serious because you have an awesome respect for who God is and what he is going to do for you. And you know what? When you have a respect and a fear and awe of God for who he is and what he has done, then it will create the excitement that you want in worship. See, a lot of times people say, well, I just think our worship is kind of dull. It's kind of boring. You know why that is? Anybody ever tells me that? I say, well, you know why you think it's boring and dull? Because you're not doing anything. You're not putting anything in. You're not understanding who God is. When we come together and we worship and we sing these songs we sing, when we come and we pray a prayer, as we gather around the Lord's table in memory of that sacrifice, what I'm sitting there thinking about ought to make me just melt at the excitement of what God has done for me and what God has allowed me to be, what he has allowed me to become, what he allows me to look forward to. And if we can't thrill at that in our worship, then we need to go back to stage one and we need to start all over again. It all starts when we start making preparation. Keep your foot when you come into the house of God. Maybe that you're here this evening, you're not a member of the body of Christ. I would say that the best thing you will ever do in your life will be to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and to be buried with him in baptism, to rise up as a child of God, a new creature. Having your sins washed away, washed by the blood of Jesus that he shed upon that cross over 2,000 years ago. Paying the debt that you could never pay, but receiving the forgiveness that's offered. Then you can offer your worship and your service and your life to him. And you can with excitement understand that what this is a foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. And you know what? That's where I want to be all the time. I don't want worship to end. I'm not sitting there looking at the clock and saying, well, you know, it's an hour. No, I'm going to be sitting there saying, does it have to end so soon? Couldn't we just stay till midnight? I couldn't have enough voice for that. What you'll be looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord, because that's really where our home is. That's our destination. That's where we're going. And you know what? I'm going to make sure that while I'm making all these preparations and I'm making this statement of faith in my life and I'm stepping out and I'm obeying the gospel myself, I'm going to make sure that I'm taking everybody in my family with me. I'm going to be telling them, trying to help them to be where they need to be so they don't miss it. They don't miss the destination. Because the time will come that the destination will be gone. No hope. If you're here this evening, you're ready to respond to the invitation tonight, let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?